Thought for today. Thought for today. Once you find your spiritual path, you will be fired with imagination and energy. Once you find your spiritual path, you'll be fired with imagination and energy. Once you find your spiritual path, you'll be fired with imagination and energy. How many of you have found your spiritual path? Well, you've found it, but you haven't involved yourself 100% in it. You see, Michelangelo went to training school as an apprentice in learning how to be a painter and a sculptor, two different media. And so, as he went there, because he liked to draw, he liked to do different things. He didn't want to follow the rules. He didn't want to follow the suggestions of his teachers. And you know what the teachers did to them? They only let them color in between the lines. They just did the background. The great artists did the foreground of the people and whatever else was to be in the foreground. But the assistants did the background. Occasionally the assistants in doing the background would get it over the main picture. What are you doing? How stupid! And it really made them feel good. And here they were artists. They had a calling to be an artist. They had a calling to be an artist. And they had to learn how to do the simple little things. They had to learn how to fill in the lines. Now, many of you have gone to art school, or you have taken art classes. And in your art classes, your teacher will say, okay, you're in third grade. Let's fill in between the lines.
I don't want to fill in between the lines. I'm going to paint all over the painting. I'm going to do all this sort of stuff.
Well, the kids who learn to fill in between the lines learn to have a feeling of confidence in what they're doing. Because as they fill in the lines and they keep the color within the line itself, they learn to feel confident. They say, look what I did. I filled in between the lines. You see, the gold is there, the yellow, the blue, all the different blues and the green and the white. Now, how do you get the white to come out? I don't have any white paint. Well, what you do is you don't paint that part. You let the white of the paper come through. Later, you learn to paint with white. But in the beginning, you just let the white of the paper come through. So you paint within the lines. And you draw within the lines. Now, you say,
man, I want to do it my way.
And everyone who wants to do it their way does not find talent in art. Because they are so objectionable to following the program that they never learn how to do the program. Now, there will be an exception now and then. But don't count on it that you're the exception. Because the exception is like a who? Mozart? Who at the age of 3 picked up a guitar, picked up a violin and started to play it? Did you do that, huh? Did you at the age of 3 show off some wonderful talent? Or at the age of 10 or 20 or 30 or 40? Did any of you show off any marvelous talent? Like Grandma Moses, you know, she was in her late 70s and she had been painting these primitives, but somebody got a hold of one and said, hey, this is art, and they made her famous. But, you see, she didn't know she was famous up to that time. Up to that time, she just did her thing. But, how was she trained? She was trained by painting. She painted, and 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 probably threw a lot of them away. But, she painted. You want to be a writer. Write! Get busy writing. Take a half an hour or an hour every day and write. Where am I going to fit it in? Well, sleep 1 hour less, if that's what you want to do. Or use your personal time, or whatever you want to do. But if you want to really write, you will. How many mothers, wives, have gone up into the attic and taken an hour every day to write? And kept it secret from their family. Not because they were doing something wrong, but because this was their special time. This was their time of firing up their imagination, firing up their energy, and really letting it go. Do you have that too? I tell you my little experience. When I go to a house and I say, let me clean up your house for you. I mean, it really is bad. And let me rearrange the furniture however I like. And then after I'm done, you can rearrange it any way you like. It doesn't matter, but at least you'll have a clean house. But I'd like to have a creative feeling of cleaning up your house. Not because your house is dirty, it's filthy, you know, but it's because I want to be creative in rearranging your furniture. Well, that's cheap enough to let you rearrange the furniture to have my house clean. My goodness sakes, that's cheap enough. And so they come home. And they were not there to tell me what to do or to tell me how they wanted it or tell me what their preferences were. But when they came home, I had showered that house with so much pixie dust, with so much of my love, with so much of my joy of creativity, of being an interior designer and doing all these things, you know. And also, I didn't have to live with it, you know. I could be an interior designer with using way out ideas. And they came home. And most of the time, they thought they were pretty good. Most of the time, they thought it was wonderful. And you know how I knew they thought it was wonderful? Weeks later, it was still that way. You know? If they didn't think it was wonderful, they would have shoved it right back the way they wanted to, because it wasn't that big a deal. But you see, this is what a creative artist does. A creative artist gets in there and gets their fire of imagination and their energy going. And they need to have the privacy to do it. They need to have the privacy. Sounds terrible, but my brother-in-law wanted me to clean his house. And he and my sister were away. And so I got undressed, and I cleaned their whole house. What'd you get undressed for? Because I like to be naked. And so I cleaned their whole house. And I had the whole house spick and span from stem to stern. I rushed it a little bit because I wanted to continue doing the whole thing before they got back. Well, when they got back, I had finished. And I was having a cup of tea in the kitchen, all dressed up proper. And they came in and said, wow, this is all right. You washed the walls. You scrubbed the floor. You cleaned the carpets. You washed down all the furniture that was the naugahyde or the leather. You vacuumed out the couches. You took all the cushions out and vacuumed in the little slots down there and got all the loose change and things that were down there. Well, you did everything. Now, I'm telling you this, but they didn't really say that, because they didn't know the condition of the house. They had no idea what the condition was because they were living in it. You know, when you're living in a place, you don't realize things. The only thing they realized was that I did clean the walls and the carpet, and I did move the furniture around. But they didn't know what I did inside the furniture. They didn't know what I did inside their cupboards, that I went through every cupboard, and if there were paper in there, I repapered it. If there was none, I polished the bottoms and washed the glass. I'm not trying to tell you I'm good. I'm trying to tell you that when you are fired by imagination and energy, that's when you have found your path. You have found your spiritual path. You have found a goal for yourself. And that is your spiritual path. Now, let me ask you this question. And Sylvia, answer this question in a few words and answer it as simply as possible. And do not give me any nonsense. Why are you here?
To be myself and have fun.
Oh, to be yourself and have fun. Oh, how do you do? That's what I was. Isn't that walking my spiritual path, being myself and having fun?
Yes.
Whether it's cleaning somebody's house with my clothes on or naked, whether it is going out in my garden and doing something, whether it is reading a book, whether it is writing an article, whether it is speaking to you, being myself and having fun, that's what's walking your spiritual path. And then, once you find your spiritual path, you'll be fired with imagination and energy. Once you find what that path is for you, it's fun, because you're being yourself and having fun. Now, you might say, well, why not just be ourselves and have fun, and then we'll be walking our spiritual path? Go ahead. Have you found anything that excites you? Well, Anita says, well, I like riding horses. You know, I like riding our neighbor's horse over here. That's very nice. I like playing with him. Well, is that being yourself and having fun? You bet your life it is. Is that walking your spiritual path? You bet your life it is. And what does Sylvia find great joy in? Yeah, stickery in knitting, but and you're sure making an interesting pattern there. Sylvia finds, oh, it's made that way. What Sylvia finds great joy in is to talk to somebody on the phone and counsel with them. She loves to be a practitioner, not really a practitioner, a minister. A practitioner just says, you're home perfect, bye. A minister sort of talks with you a little bit and shares with you ideas of how you can look at yourself in a more positive way. But Sylvia just loves that. She gets on the phone and everybody just melts, you know. And that's nice. Now, what does Ellen love to do? What is Ellen's being herself and having fun? We haven't figured that out yet, have we? You know why? Because she loves everything. And she finds being fun in everything. Whether she is picking up acorns from the man at the garage who took them out of our engine, and she finds it a charming story, or whether she goes in to see the cosmetician, the lady who does cosmic surgery, and she talks to her, and the lady says, well, now these are things here, these are things here. And she says, well, now those are things that never concern me, and so forth. And then we looked at Sylvia. Hear that baby face of hers, you know, with every line and wrinkle somehow never landing there. They're just sort of the baby face. And she's got that baby face. Well, we should really treat her like a baby. And, you know, what do you do with babies? You love them and cuddle. Oh, yes, I'm sure. See how she threw that snuggle them in there. You love them and cuddle them and snuggle them because be as a little child. Now, are you inclined to hug Sylvia?
Sure.
Yeah. And are you inclined to hug her just because she's a woman or because she's a nice lady or attractive? Is that why? No. You love and huggle her because that's her way of being herself and having fun. She just loves doing that. And that's not bad. Now, what does Ellen do? Ellen, besides finding joy in everything she does and being herself and having fun in everything she does, she goes around making everybody look at their world differently. She says, but you're whole and perfect. You're wonderful. Like when the surgeon was looking at us, Ellen says, you're beautiful. Your skin is radiant. And the surgeon says, well, look, see, I had cosmic surgery done up here. And Ellen says, where? I can't see a thing, you know. And not that she can't see the improvement, but she can't see any scar. And that's true. You see, she was teaching us quality. The surgeon herself was having such fun talking to us because she was being herself and having fun. She didn't even think about the fact that her office was filled with food because one of the agents came in trying to sell her something, and she said, we haven't got time. We've got to eat our lunch and stuff. And so the agent says, I'll bring you lunch. And so he brought food into the office, and they all sat there eating while he talked to them. And you can be sure they'll buy his product if they are not already buying it because he was having fun and being himself. He liked bringing, you know what kind of food he brought for them? The kind that he liked. He didn't ask them what kind of food you want. He just brought, well, he says, I'll bring some food. And he brought it and set it up very beautifully. Now, her assistant at the office, what kind of a lady was she? She couldn't stay out of the office. She wasn't supposed to be in that office. She had other things to do. She had other work to do. But she had to be in. She'd come in the door. What's all this laughter going on in here? What's all this bubbling going on in here? What? It sounds like fun, and I don't want to miss it. And so I hugged the surgeon goodbye. And then I saw Ellen hug the assistant goodbye. And I said, oh, are you huggable too? Oh, yes. And so she was being herself and having fun. You see, is she walking her spiritual path? so beautifully. Would she say she is walking her spiritual path to you if you have said, are you walking your spiritual path? Oh, no, I'm not on my knees. I'm not praying in church. I'm not listening to the minister. I'm not. Hey, that's not walking your spiritual path. Walking your spiritual path is being yourself and having fun. Walking your spiritual self is being yourself. Walking your spiritual self is being. Walking your spiritual path has nothing to do with anybody else. You might come to me and I might talk to you and I might inspire you, but that's not walking your spiritual path. Walking your spiritual path is when you take something that you hear or think about and apply it. You apply it in your life. You apply it. Just like I said to Roger. I said, Roger, you're not in a position to do anything for your son except to bless him and see him walking strongly and well. You're not able to do anything for your grandson except to see him surrounded by abundance, surrounded by sufficient food and a lovely place to live. You see, that's my having fun and being myself. Talking to these people, sharing with them, and then having them write back later and saying, hey, that made such a difference in my life. And that's wonderful, but I don't need that. I don't need to know that it's making a difference in their life, because it made a difference in my life to say it to them. It made a difference in my thinking to say anything positive to another. It made a difference to me, and it is my spiritual path, being myself and having fun. Do you know how that goes? Simple, wonderful, works every time, but you have to do it. Once you find your spiritual path, you'll be fired with imagination and energy. When Anita's sitting on her horse, she just is soaring. Happy, joyous, filled with, you're looking incredulous. Why are you looking incredulous? You don't know why. She's wishing she were riding on a horse right now. Yeah. And Sylvia just loved to have someone to snuggle. And Ellen, she just snuggles everything and everybody, man, woman, child, dog, pet, whatever it may be, rattlesnake. She loves them all. And John has, I think, something that we have all come to recognize, and we have never put it in words. But John doesn't have a heart. He has a bottle of happiness in there. And all John does is just keep pouring out this unlimited, eternally full bottle of happiness that he calls his heart. And he pours it out everywhere, and he gives it everywhere. He shares it with everybody. And he says, well, isn't everybody have a heart of happiness? Remember the Wizard of Oz? And the lion needed to get a heart? He needed courage, didn't he? Who needed the heart? The Tin Man needed a heart. Because he wanted to be like man. Well, what did the Tin Man represent? He represented love and caring. He represented sincerity. He represented all the things the heart represented. But he didn't know that his whole tin can was a heart. And this is what John is experiencing. John's experiencing that he doesn't have to go somewhere else. He doesn't have to look somewhere else. He doesn't have to read a book. All he does is just look inside himself, and he finds that heart there, and that's being himself and having fun. And he is so happy with that, that he just cannot contain himself. So he tells us these wonderful stories that he tells, which are pretty good, aren't they? He says them all pretty nicely, doesn't he? Okay. Now I'm saving the best for last here. Ha, ha, ha. I haven't finished. Ingeborg, what do you do to be yourself and have fun? What is it about you that makes you fired with enthusiasm, imagination, and energy? What is it that does it? Well, for Ingeborg, it's just walking her own path. Now, Ingeborg thought that working in the garden was so super, she could almost wish that she were in that position all the time. And then Ingeborg thought fixing up the Shangri-La was so fantastic that she'd like to just be there all the time and work on it. She thought that that would be so fantastic. Ingeborg thought that playing with the dogs and the cats was so wonderful and so rewarding. And you've seen her in these different postures where she plays with the dogs and cats in the houses and stuff. She thought that was the greatest. Now, something new is bubbling inside of this bubbly woman here. And something new is a literary talent that she had not expressed before. I quite imagine we haven't heard the last of Ingeborg's genius in writing. As she likes to say, I didn't take anything from anyone, it just was what was inside of me. What? Yeah, she says, yeah. Yeah, I didn't take any, you know, a lot of people, they take a paragraph here, a paragraph there from writing that they think is so very good, and then they write it all down, they say, this is what I believe. Well, that's good, but that was what somebody else believed, their way of saying. But Ingeborg is making it hers. Now, we will read it to you. It's really remarkable. So, perhaps this is a new step in your energy and in your enthusiasm pattern. Maybe this is your step of imagination, being yourself and having fun. I kind of think it's an indication in the direction. But just because she has talent at the moment in doing this, that talent will be far overshadowed by what she does next. And who knows what that's going to be. As a lecturer, as a person who is a counselor, as a person who is a minister or a priest or a person who is a practitioner, who knows what she's going to take on next. Now, I've been leaving the best for the last. Now, Button is just fantastic. What is Button's purpose in life? To be himself and have fun. Last night I went to bed. It was about 10 o'clock or so. And I was laying there ready to drop off. And Button was sitting there, taking his paw, doing my shoulders, doing my face, doing my eyes, saying, hey, pet me, pet me. So I'd pet him for a little while, and then he'd do some more. And then he'd crawl under the blanket, and he'd snuggle up close to me. And then he'd decide to change, and he'd turn and change and do all these things. He's being himself and having fun, just walking his own way. And being himself and having fun is doing what? Whatever turns him on. Whatever turns him on. Now, I did not say, don't do that, Button. I did not say, don't paw me. I didn't say anything like that. I thought it, but I didn't say it. Because I figured, hey, he's being himself and having fun. He's having a good time. And he's my very special dog. So, am I leaving the best for last? Now, what about love here? What does love do? Love is being himself and having fun. I lay down the blankets on the floor to go to bed, and the first thing he does is get under it so the blanket can fall on top of him. And then he turns in circles and twists the blanket around him like a knot, and then he goes to sleep. Now, he doesn't leave much blanket for me, so I have to just push him to one side and get out another blanket. I mean, who's going to take the blanket away from love? You know, who's going to take candy away from the baby? You just can't do it. Well, he's being himself and having fun. And then he takes this little white toy here, and he will take it and throw it in a circle and go round and round and round and round, round. And then he will dig at the little toy that's inside because he's having such fun. But now, he's being himself and having fun. But I told you, I was leaving the best to last. Now, what about our cats? We have three cats or four cats now. We have Magic. That's the new cat on the block. And Magic is just being himself or herself.
She's a girl.
Yeah, it's our first
girl.
our only girl. She's our first girl. She's being herself and having fun. And she walks around so proudly, and she will let you pet her. She will let you do anything because she's not at all upset with anything because she knows she's running the show. And she's a new kid on the block, and she's running the show. So you see, you don't have to be the old kid on the block to run the show. So then we have Spot, who is the old kid on the block, who would like to run the show, but she doesn't. He doesn't really care anymore because he just does his own thing. He will even let you pet him now where he wouldn't let you do that before. He's just an amazing cat. And then we have Gentle. Gentle. We had called a different name because Gentle was kind of feisty in the beginning. And Gentle was feisty?
Yeah.
And what was
Mario.
Mario? Oh, yeah, we called the other one Mario. And he was very gentle. Now, he's gentle again. He got feisty there for a while, but he's gentle again. But our cats are doing their own thing and having fun. Now, why am I spending time telling you about this in this short thought for today? Because I want you to stop and think that it's not what you do, it's how you do what you do. What attitude do you have about being yourself and having fun? Is it that you go to church and pray and that you get on your knees and that you say your Hail Marys, or you go into church and you say, save this innocent child, or God help me, or whatever? What is it? It's being yourself and having fun. Do you think that God set up a program that we should worship Him and that we should pray to Him? Do you think that Jesus taught us to pray to God? He said, ask your Father. When you pray, pray like this. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. It wasn't any supplication. It was, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And leave us not in temptation. Not lead us. Can you imagine some churches have lead us not into temptation as though God is so stupid as to lead His people into temptation? Wow! I mean, you got to really be far out to say something like that. I know there'll be many of you listening to this, especially on our thought for today, on the internet, and you'll hear me say that, and you'll say, well, I'm not going to listen to anything more that guy has to say, because he's just full of beans. Well, I cannot imagine God being stupid, and I think it would have to be interpreted as being stupid if God were to lead us into temptation. Now, you might say, I lead you in temptation sometimes. I lead you into fields of disagreement to see if you're going to be touched by it, but I'm not God for you. You see? You're not God for me. You're God for yourself, and I'm God for myself. But I'm not God for you. So I could never lead you. I try to irritate you into thinking positive thoughts and doing positive things, but never leading you into anything. Many people think that we do lead them into negative things, but we don't. So, what's the best thing for last? I raise my hand. Huh? Herb! Hey, Ingeborg, you hit it right on the head. Herb, each one of us are the best thing. Each one of us is magnificent and perfect. So when I say I am perfect, I am saying I reflect outwardly all the perfection I have within me. And all the goodness. Well, you say, well, Herb, you've got a couple extra pounds there. And Herb, you know, you had a couple of an implant put in your mouth, and you have some gold teeth in there. And Herb, what's this all about? Herb, you had laser treatment on your eyes. And I'll say, but you tell everybody everything. Yeah, I have nothing to hide. Herb, you had an operation or two. Herb, you did this. Herb, so what? So what? We were at the Cosmic Surgeon's office. Cosmetic surgeons. She's a cosmic one, all right. She had this, did she have a 90-year-old Or was it 88?
86.
86. She had this 86-year-old woman who should have kicked the bucket. And she looked rough. Oh, she looked rough. And she's still working.
Full time.
What's her job?
Biochemist.
She's a biochemist of some sort, a full-time biochemist. And she looked like she was ready to bite your head off, you know. And so Carol Holland, the surgeon, rearranged her face a little bit by taking the, pulling it back so the wrinkles were gone, and so that she just made a few slight little changes in her. It took her maybe an hour or two to do the work that had to be done. And she looked like a spring chicken. She looked like a young, dynamic lady because the old crow's feet and the wrinkles were gone, which was merely nothing more than just tightening the scalp a little bit, where it had become a little flabby with eating and not eating and then eating and not eating, you know, where your skin sort of falls into place to do these things. And it's just the way it goes. It's just the way it goes. And after the surgery, she looked beautiful, gorgeous, and she's still working. And now she's probably 87 or 88, you know, because that was a few years, at least that, a few years ago. Because she said, this is after 6 months and this is after a year. So that lady is being herself and having fun at 88, full time. Now, what are you going to be doing at 88? Are you going to be liking yourself and having fun? Are you going to be going in for a facelift so that your face can look like your eyes? Your eyes look like they're 25, and you want your face to look that way too. Be yourself and have fun. I mean, what the heck? This is a world of joy. You don't have to tell anybody that you're having something done, because it only takes about a week for it to mellow itself, and no one would ever know it. And you come back. One man, his wife had some surgery, and he was gone for about a week. And when he came back home, he didn't even notice that she had this change. And she looked terrible before. And afterwards, she looked glorious. And he didn't even know it. Do you know why?
Because he loves her.
Because he saw her through his love eyes at all times. And he didn't see her needing improvement. And she still hasn't told him. Now, and it's several weeks later, you know, she still hasn't told him. She said, how am I going to tell him when I didn't tell him before? It was a secret. And I said, I didn't say anything, but I thought, don't say anything, love. Just be. Just be and enjoy.
She wanted to surprise him.
Yeah, she wanted to surprise him, and he didn't even notice it. Once you find your spiritual path, you will be fired with imagination and energy. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Once you find your spiritual path, you'll be fired with imagination and energy. And once you find your spiritual path, you'll be fired with imagination and energy. And I love you very, very much.